Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks of fitness, episode number 46. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, don't forget to mark your calendars for Saturday, June 27, 2015, when we will present our 12th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo in Brooklyn, New York. This fun-filled event exposes children to over 25 sports activities, nutrition clinics, and health screenings totally free. This event was created to help our children to become more active and bring awareness to the issue of childhood obesity. This is the largest sports and fitness expo in New York City, so we're looking for sponsors, vendors, and volunteers. For more information, please call Body Sculpt of New York at 718-346-5852 or visit our website at www.bodysculpt.org. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by the lovely and talented actress, Carlys Burke. During the interview, Carlys will take us on her personal journey growing up in Hollis, Queens, New York, to two loving middle-class parents whose desire for her was to go to school and become a teacher. To please her parents, Carlys attended City College of New York and received her Bachelor of Arts degree in pre-law. Carlys, realizing from her birth that what she really wanted to do was act, she decided to follow her passion, moved out to LA, and began what is now a very lucrative, rewarding, and fulfilling career as an actress of stage, film, and television. Carlys will share her many projects in this interview and discuss her recent 40-pound weight loss and the aha moment in her life that made her determined to lose the weight. Carlys is all about giving back as she speaks about the causes she supports and her upcoming coaching program for actors. This and so much more is in this very, very informative episode. Now, remember the words of Ray Goforth, who said, "There are two types of people who will tell you that you cannot make a difference in this world, and they are those who are afraid to try and those who are afraid you will succeed." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 weeks of fitness. After graduating with a Bachelor of Arts degree in pre-law from City College of New York and a couple of off-Broadway shows under her belt, Carlys Burke steered west to work with Tim Busfield in his children's company, The Fantasy Theater. Her first TV credit was a recurring role on the hit soap opera, The Young and the Restless. And now with over 100 acting credits to her name, Carlys still shows no signs of slowing down. Carlys has a very impressive resume, having worked with some of the biggest stars in Hollywood, such as John Travolta in Get Shorty, Tom Hanks in The Terminal, Jennifer Lopez in The Backup Plan, William H. Macy in Shameless, and Molly Macklin and Sweet Nothings in My Ear, to name just a few. Most recently, Carlys has maintained stability in national commercials, working with Geico, Pfizer, Macy's, Verizon, and Pizza Hut. Her ever-expanding list of guest starring credits include Hot in Cleveland, Raising Hope, Hawthorne, Flash Forward, Heroes, Southland, NCIS, Grey's Anatomy, Bones, The Richest, Desperate Housewives, Malcolm in the Middle, Without a Trace, Monk, and How I Met Your Mother, and the list goes on. I am very pleased to have Carlys Burke on our 6 weeks to fitness program. Carlys, how are you?
I am fine. Wow, what an introduction.
Wow, hey, look, it's all you. This is all about you. You're amazing.
Wow, but I like the way you read it. You read it like they read, you know, who's going to be at the Academy Awards. You know, at the beginning of the show, where they're just like, William H. Macy, Samuel L. Jackson, Molly Matlin, la 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 la. It was great. That was good. Thank you.
Oh, no, you're quite welcome, and it's much deserved, let me tell you, okay? But before we talk about your acting career, Carlys, let's talk about you.
Uh-oh. Okay. You sure you want to do that?
I'll be gentle. Here we go. You were born and raised in Run-DMC land, Hollis, Queens, New York, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Hollis, Queens. Yep. That's
yes,
true.
Yes. Tell me about that. Did you like living here in New York?
I love New York. I love New York. It has well, obviously, before I lived anywhere else, that's all I knew. But yeah. I love being a New Yorker. I will claim being a New Yorker for the rest of my life. People try to say, you know, oh, well, you're an L.A. girl now. And I'm like, no. I live in L.A., but I'm from New York. I am a New Yorker. I will always be a New Yorker. So I hold that flag. I wave that flag proudly, very proudly.
Excellent.
I loved being there. I loved my friends and my family, and I didn't know anything else until I moved. But still, New York has an energy unlike any other place, so. That's my home.
Most definitely. And that's what we New Yorkers like to hear.
That's right.
Definitely. Now, who were your role models growing up?
In show business or just in
no,
life?
No, just your role, just in life.
Wow. Gosh, I never thought of my role models in life. You know what? Wow. You know, I never really thought about that. I can't say I didn't have any. I'm just trying to think
right.
of who made a really strong impact on me.
Yes.
I guess
growing
my
up.
Family in the beginning, because that's all I knew. I was sort of,
yeah.
I don't know, I was sort of very well protected, so to speak.
Yes.
So I guess yeah. it would start out with my family. I remember when I got to college, I really admired my African American studies teacher. I was called Black Studies then. I went to City College of
yes.
New York, and I think her name was Barbara. And I just loved her because she was just so grand and eccentric, and she was very, very dark skinned, and she wore very bright colors. She had short hair, and she wore
yes.
big jewelry, and she was just
wow.
bold and. She just seemed very bold. There was something about her that was just grand and very bold that I liked. And she knew her stuff. She was very smart, and I always
yeah.
admired her. And I also admired Sandra Reeves Phillips, who was one of my mentors. She did, I can't remember the show that she did, eight late great ladies of rhythm and blues or jazz and blues.
Huh.
She's still
yes.
performing there in New York. She's amazing. Her children are friends of mine now. And my dad was definitely a role model. I loved my dad. He passed away when I was 24. But I loved that he was so kind to people, and he loved yes. his family, and he would just do anything for you. Just anything. He would stop and help a stranger on the street, you know?
Wow. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's important to me. And my role models, my family as well. I mean, my brother's growing up. I mean, that. So I can understand that, because that's who you knew, your
right.
family, first and foremost.
Exactly.
And it's beautiful that you can say that they were your role models, in addition to your professor in college. That's excellent, you know?
Yeah.
But now, when did you first realize that you wanted to be an actress, though, Carlys?
I think I came out of the womb knowing I wanted to be an actress. I can't remember really wanting to do anything as much and as early as coming out. I was just like, this is, I'm here, you know. But my parents, being the hardworking middle class Black people that they are.
Yes, they are.
they were, because my father's gone, but you know what I mean. They kind of didn't want me to go down the route of entertainment. They wanted me to have a stable job. My mom wanted me to be a teacher and
yes.
or find a civil servant job and, you know, be done with it. But that's what they knew. That's what they were taught.
Right.
That's what worked
yes.
for them. You didn't,
yes,
you know,
definitely.
You weren't, there were no entrepreneurs. You didn't not have a job. What are you talking about? You don't work from your home, you know, and you certainly
yeah.
don't become an actor, you know?
Oh yes, really. That's right.
So I knew it, but I wasn't really able to do anything or or yeah, I guess not able and didn't choose to do anything about it until I graduated from college. Because they were just not having it. They were just, you know, I wanted to go to music and art, and I wanted to major in drama in college. You know, I'm like, but I'm in college, you know? And they were like, no, we're not paying your tuition for you to learn to sing and dance. Nope, not going to happen. So, yeah, so I that was hard because I knew what I wanted to do, and I wasn't able to do it. And so you kind of make adjustments in your life, and you compensate sometimes in good ways and sometimes in not so good ways.
But you became an actress. So how did that journey begin?
Well, after I graduated from college with my BA in pre-law, my mom wanted me to be a teacher. I didn't want to do that. I thought I have to find something that I enjoy. So I always enjoyed law. And so I started taking classes that would lead toward a law degree, not just liberal arts, but I focused on constitutional law. I was the president of the Black Pre-Law Society. You know, I excelled at anything that I did because I was a people pleaser. So no matter what I did, I was going to do it well. And I always wanted to be the best. But, I mean, even when it wasn't something that I really wanted to do. So sometimes I try to imagine, like, what would it have been like if I was able to do what I really wanted to do?
Yes.
You know, where would I be? But anyway, that's kind of like regret, and I try not to live in regret. You know, I just keep moving forward. So when I graduated from college, I worked for an advertising agency for about 5 years, and I was doing plays at night. And I was literally burning the candles at both ends until finally I had to make a decision. What are you going to do? And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it now. You know, I need to do it now. I need to find out if this is what I'm supposed to do, because that's what I believe I was put here to do. I don't want to look back on my life and again, be regretful, you know, and regret not following my dreams. So I started doing plays, and I started doing well, and I started meeting people, and I started building a resume and doing more and more and more. And then I was still living at home, so I started taking jobs that would take me away from home for a while, and then I would come back. And then finally I was like, oh, I got a job on a cruise ship, and we were docked out of L.A., and I was like, yes, finally I'm getting out west. And so while I was here, I looked around. I had a friend that I could stay with, and I just went back off the cruise ship. I went back home, and I said, Mom, I got to go. I got to try this out. I got to see what happens, you know. And I'm not asking your permission. I'm telling you. I came out to – well, I was like 20-something years old at the time. I wasn't a young – I was an adult, you know, but –
exactly.
I don't think my parents ever really wanted me to grow up, so it was a little difficult.
Yes.
And being an only child, you know, only child, no siblings, so.
That's what I was going to ask you, how many siblings? Only child, yes, it's hard for you to step away like that, family. But right now, is your mother thankful and happy that you did?
She is now. My mother is I'm caregiving for her. She's 87, and she is proud. She has said on many, many occasions that she's proud of me finally. I was like, well, it would have been nice to know earlier, but
yes.
But she tells me now, and where she's living, which is a senior community. They tell me that she brags about me all the time. Her daughter's
really
actress, her daughter the
nice.
Actress. So that's nice to hear. That's
almost
definitely
here.
Yeah.
Now I also understand that your childhood dentist encouraged you to go into comedy.
Well, I was going to mention my dentist when we were talking about role models, because it was because of him and Sandra Reeves Phillips that I had the courage to pursue my career. And it was because I was talking to my dentist about wishing that my mother would be more encouraging and what was wrong with wanting to be an actress and what was I going to do? And, you know, I don't know how I managed to have this conversation with his fingers all in my mouth, but somehow.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Say that again?
I thought maybe you were laughing, and he said, hey, you should be a comedian.
No, it wasn't even comedy. It was just to pursue my dreams. I never thought I would do stand-up comedy. That happened, like, maybe in the early 90s, and I had already been out in L.A. for about 5 years. But at that time, like I said, that's all I ever wanted to do was be an actress growing up. So I shared it with him. And then he told me about a woman that he dated when they were in college, who had a daughter that was doing very well out here in California, uh-huh. and that maybe we should meet. So it was the opposite. It was like me and my mom not supporting me in my dream, and then this young lady's mother 100% supporting her in her dreams and goals. So we met and we became friends, and that's where I stayed when I first moved to L.A. Only for 4 months, though, but I stayed at her home when I first moved out here.
Okay, but watching her, living in her home, did that make you feel like, okay, I want to do what she's doing?
Yes, I totally did. I saw what was going on around her. It was a little awkward because I felt a little bit like I was in the way, and I didn't feel it didn't look the way I thought it was going to look. But it made me stronger. It made me know that I wanted to be there, and with or without her help, I was going to find a way to make this work. So my mother did help me financially get my own apartment, because living with this friend was not working out. So my mother did help me give me the money to get an apartment, and then I just started putting one foot in front of the other, and here I am 30 years later.
Wow, beautiful. 30 years later and still in L.A. making movies.
Yep, building beautiful. A resume, you know, and I'm not done. It gets better and better and better every year.
Oh, I definitely believe you. But now, being from New York, did that help you in any way to prepare you for your move to L.A.?
I think as an actress, all the theater training was very, very good for me, because it's a very different muscle. It's a very different world out here. This is TV and film, and New York is theater. And it's just very, very different. Theater is treated differently here. I mean, there's great actors and there's great work being done, but it's more of a TV town. And I'm glad that I have the training to be able to hold on to a character and sustain it for a 2-hour period of time, and tell a story all at once and have the audience right there taking the journey with you. That's what you get in theater. Here, you know, you're shooting out of order, you get to do things over and over again, you're not sure what the reaction is while you're doing it because everyone has to be silent, and so it's very, very different. It's a very, very different experience.
Okay, but now, who are some of your comedic and acting inspirations?
Well, for comedy... Well, again, I would say Richard Pryor, in the sense that I just enjoyed listening to Richard Pryor because it was at a time in my life when it was just forbidden.
As a matter of fact,
I got in trouble one time when I put on a Richard Pryor album.
Yes, I remember.
Because I thought my mom had gone to the store, and I'm blasting it all over the house, and then she comes back home and she's like, Oh no. This comes off. Take it off now.
Yes.
But I liked him, and he's funny, and he was real and raw, as we all know. But I had no ambition to be a stand-up at that time. I just enjoyed listening to him. I also enjoyed listening to Bill Cosby at the time for different reasons, and so my heart is a little broken about all that's coming out about him, but we can edit that out. Anyway, so Richard Pryor, but now, you know, I guess I like the bad boys of comedy because
really?
Out of all the comedians that I know and love, for some reason, I really love Cat Williams. Because he's really smart, but he's, I don't know. There's just something, again, really raw about him. And just like he doesn't care. He has.
Definitely.
You know, I know, again, he's a bad boy and he gets in trouble and he's all over the place, but there's something about his comedy that just puts me in a certain mood. You know, and I would, that's not the kind of comedian that I am. I don't do comedy like that or like Richard Pryor. I'm pretty clean. I talk about myself. But they just get me riled up. I don't know. They just put me in a certain mood. Who I'm really loving right now is a sister named Leslie Jones. I think she is amazingly incredible. She just started working for Saturday Night Live as a writer, and now she's a regular on the show. And now I hear she's going to be one of the four female Ghostbusters in the remake of Ghostbusters. And I really love her and her work and her as a person. She's just amazing. She's one of my favorites right now.
Okay. Nice, yeah. Nice.
Leslie
Jones. I'll be sure to look out for her. Okay?
Oh, yeah. She's crushing it. She's crushing it right now.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, you're multi-talented. We know that for a fact. Able to segue between comedy, television, film, or live theater. But which do you prefer?
Oh, my gosh. Well, comedy is not at the top of the list.
Really? It's not? Honestly?
No. I mean, I love hosting. I love, being the host or the MC of events, introducing people, getting to know people's backgrounds and surprising them with what I say about them on stage, and then throwing in some comedy in between if I need to, but I'm really, really good with dealing with what's happening in the moment and on the spot. Doing a set to me is a little bit different, and I'm not really out there like the diehard comics on the road, in the comedy clubs all the time writing material.
Okay.
It still, after all these years, makes me really, really nervous. So that's not my favorite, but I'm glad that I can do it and people still hire me and I'm funny.
Definitely.
But I think maybe because it was the first thing that I learned, theater. I mean, I love it all. Don't get me wrong. I love acting. I could be on a set all day. Every day.
Really?
We're on the set and they say, okay, that's a wrap for Carlise. I actually feel kind of sad.
Really? You don't want to leave?
Oh, man. We're done? Hey. You know, it's like, for me, time stands still when I'm acting. And it's just like, I can, all day, even when I'm tired, it's just like, no, come on, bring it on. Bring it. I'll use it in the character. Come on. We're fine.
But
theater, is I love for a different reason. Again, maybe because it's the first place I started. It reminds me of the beginning in New York and just being on stage and just taking that journey night after night. Sometimes it's not always so pleasant depending upon the role that you play. You know, you may have to go somewhere and debrief for a while. there's been some shows that it's been like, oh, you're going to extend? No, I'll pass.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, because you get all caught up in whatever the emotion is and your body doesn't know that you're making believe. So whatever you take your body through over and over and over again, you know, your body's like, uh-oh, what's happening? You know, here we go.
Okay. So you need to come down at some point.
Yeah. I mean, you can be elevated in a happy way, which is most of the time after performing. But if you've gone through, if you've taken yourself and the audience on a journey of pain and sadness and all that kind of stuff, you kind of have to shake it off when it's over.
Yes. Wow. Okay. We'll talk about shaking it off down the road when we talk about exercise. Okay.
We must talk about that.
Now, your production company, Bits and Pieces, okay, yes. You guys produce a monthly comedy show called Laugh a Latte. Tell my listeners about that.
Oh, gosh. Laugh a Latte is in Long Beach. It's the third Saturday of the month, and it's at a place called Hot Java Coffee House. And it's unique in the sense that we have the funniest sign language interpreter that you have probably ever seen in your life.
Really?
And yes, we have a deaf following, and he interprets for every comic and the host, which is usually me. Now they're bringing in guest hosts because I had to pull back a little bit from producing the show because of everything else that's going on.
Right.
But yeah, he it's unique in the sense that it's a comedy showcase with a sign language interpreter who happens to be hilarious in and of himself. And so people come to see the comics, but they also come to see him. And his name is Tom O'Malley, but I call him Hot Fingers.
Hot Fingers.
Hot Fingers, because he signs like he signs like he knows what everybody's going to say, and he's signing as he's hearing it for the first time.
Really?
It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I must confess that I did go on YouTube and I watched a couple of those skits, okay?
With Tom?
And I thought, yes.
Okay. Oh, good.
And I thought they were hilarious.
See? Exactly.
I really did. What a lot of movement, a lot of body into it, a lot of soul into it. It was awesome. I was amazed with it. You know, I've never seen it done that way.
Exactly. That's my point.
Never. It was captivating. I was into it, you know?
Exactly. Cool. Yeah, so all your listeners, go to YouTube. What did you put in? Did you put in Laugh a Latte?
What did I put in? I was doing some research on you, and that came up.
Okay.
And it was like, wow, it was great.
Well, then they can find it through me then, I guess, Laugh a Latte or Carlise Burke on YouTube.
Yes, they can definitely find it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Tom is amazing. He's amazing.
Now, but what about Ask a Stage Goddess? Now, I've seen that as well. Tell my listeners about that.
Oh, Ask a Stage Goddess. Well, right now I've created a challenge for myself. I'm working on a book project with Nikki Woods, which I hope we'll get to talk about in a few minutes. And she encouraged me to make little videos of myself, like a tip of the day, behind the scenes with Carlise Burke in Hollywood, you know, la, 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 la. And so I thought, because I'm a baby boomer, and I'm like, so what, I could just do that with my iPhone? And she's like, yes, Carlise, yes, you can. I'm like, and you can just send it right to YouTube. And I'm like, what, I can send it to YouTube from my iPhone? She's like, yes, Carlise. Oh, my God.
Yes,
so
yes.
Now she's created a monster because I'm like, I can do this every day. So I've created a challenge, 30 tips in 30 days. And so every day,
really?
I think I'm up to day 17 or 18, and I am going to produce 30 tips in 30 days for anyone who just wants to, I don't know, who's interested in becoming an actor or a solo show performer or little tips about Hollywood or tips of what to do when you're waiting for the phone to ring. But they're no more than like a minute long. I have a couple of produced segments that are a little bit longer and with the bells and the whistles and stuff like that. But I get asked a lot of questions all the time about the business and how to get into it and what do I do and how do I do this and how do I do that. And so I created Ask a Stage Goddess to address those questions, and soon I'm going to be launching my coaching program. If anyone wants to work with me personally, then I will be very happy to coach. It is time for me to give back all that I've learned and experienced and help others, because I didn't have that. As you heard at the beginning of this interview, I figured this all out. Where I am now, you know, with the grace of God, of course, I had to figure this out all on my own and bump around and figure out what worked for me, because I had no one to help me. I didn't even know to ask, you know, or to have a mentor. You know,
really?
I just did it all myself. Just
wow,
like I
that's
said,
incredible.
One foot in front of the other, paying attention to the universe and just going where it guided me.
Wow, that's incredible, because one of the first things you learn is that you must have a mentor, you know, when you're trying to accomplish any type of goal, you know, someone who's done it. And
well,
you didn't have that.
I didn't learn that till, I mean, like recently. You know, I mean, I heard about it, but
yes.
I just, you know, I don't want to blame, but I just didn't get that message when I was growing up. Like, you didn't ask people, you know, asking for help was a sign
yes.
of weakness. You're supposed to know how to figure it out for yourself. You know,
yes.
I just didn't get that message. And I'm sorry about that, because, you know, you do need at least a mentor and then ideally a great support team.
Yes.
A great.
I agree.
I'm just figuring that out.
Wow, I mean, that's okay. I mean, you have figured it out. That's the most important thing. You figured it out.
Right.
You know, now you know.
Right.
now you can help others to grow.
Exactly. Yeah, because I made a lot of bad choices because of that in people
sure.
and relationships and just
yeah.
I don't know, just not knowing. You know.
Exactly, and there's no shame in not knowing. It's only being human. And that's all it is.
Yeah, you can't know everything.
Now, I know you stand at 5'8", correct?
Yeah, I guess so. 5'8", 5'8" and a half, yes.
On the good
Don't
day.
Don't ask me how much I weigh.
No. We haven't got to that part yet.
Oh, no.
But now, do you think that your height, okay, because I know you're often cast as a cop or a nurse, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's... why they're basically putting you in that role, because of your height? You know,
that's a very, very good question. Maybe not so much for the nurse,
right?
Even though they're both sort of authority figures, but definitely I think my build, my shape, and my
mm-hmm.
has gotten me all those roles in not just cops, but in uniforms. I have
in uniform,
worn
really?
So many uniforms. I've been cops and bailiffs and airport personnel and security guards and
really?
Agents.
Really? Interesting.
I've worn a lot of uniforms, and probably because of my height and my build, that's probably very accurate, yeah.
Now, I understand you've been working on a book. Now, tell my listeners about the book. Have you completed it? The name of it? Give me some information.
Okay, well, I'm actually a co-author. Right now, we're calling it the Nikki Woods Book Project. And Nikki Woods is the executive producer of the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Yes.
And she's an author. She's written a couple of books herself, maybe more. And I am one of 16 women, I believe, who are writing chapters. We're telling our story in chapter form for her book project, which doesn't
really?
Have a title yet. We're all writing. We have a deadline of February 20th. So we're all still writing our stories. I think a couple of the women maybe have finished already, but we're writing our stories. And then when they put them all together, I guess something will come out, a theme, a title. You know, we'll evolve from that. So we don't have a title just yet, but I didn't do my own homework. We're having a big book launch in Dallas, and I don't know when that is. But if people follow me and keep up with me and keep up with Nikki Woods, NikkiWoods, on Twitter, on Facebook, I guarantee you will know when this book is coming out, where to get it, what the name is, because we are all very, very excited. It's going to be a book that will inspire and empower, for sure.
Right.
That's definitely just starting to get to know some of the women on Facebook. We have our own little secret page, and we're getting to know each other. And some of the stories that I'm already hearing are quite fascinating.
Really?
Yes, I'm very, very excited about this project.
Well, keep us informed, okay, Carlise? I definitely would like my listeners to know.
I will.
So now let's talk about my favorite topic. And it's not me, it's health.
Well, you look healthy.
I do try, but let's talk about your health, Carlise.
Yes.
I understand you lost some weight recently. How much weight did you lose and how did you do it?
Well, just before the holidays, I had lost about 40 pounds. And
wow.
I went 40 pounds. I went to a weight loss specialist because I was having trouble doing it myself. I knew I wanted to lose weight, but I just wasn't having any luck. I'm not a person to work out a lot. I wasn't eating very healthy. And ironically, because I'm an actor and I was working on a project where I hired a director friend of mine, when he came for our first meeting, he looked like he had just lost a bunch of weight. And I was like, whoa, what happened to you? And he
said, how'd you do it? Yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't even what I would consider obese. I thought he was fine, but it was a noticeable weight loss. And he told me, 40 pounds in 2 months. I'm like, what? I go, did you have surgery? Are you taking pills or shots or whatever? He goes, no.
Right.
He told me the doctor's name, and he told me what he was doing. And I went, oh, I could do that. I was like, I've kind of done that before, because this is the second time when I've needed for better health to lose weight. I always grew up skinny. I was always the tall, skinny kid. But as you get older, and I used to be a smoker, so the two times I stopped smoking, I gained a lot of weight, and it just snuck up on me. I didn't even realize that I had gotten that big, because in my mind, I was still the tall, skinny kid. In my mind. And so the director, told me who the doctor was, and I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna need to give him a call. Then we went forward with the project, and I was very, very excited. I got a cast together. This is another Bits and Pieces production. I got the cast together. I got the crew together. I wrote the script. Marla Gibbs plays my mother in this piece. I was beyond excited. I did this piece to submit it for a contest with NBC. So when it was done editing and I saw myself on camera, I was like, oh, my God, who is that big, fat, black woman?
Really?
And it was me. And I thought, oh, my God, is that what I look like? And I was the lead, and I cast this gorgeous, fine black actor as lead, the male lead against me. And now all of a sudden I started doubting myself and doubting the project, and I couldn't get past how I looked. And I'm like, is this what Hollywood sees when they see me? Is this what my agents see? Is this how I'm being cast? Because I never noticed it before in all the jobs that I did. I mean, I knew I was a little bit bigger, but this time it was like, I couldn't get past just how I looked. I couldn't get into the story.
Really?
I couldn't get into the wonderful experience I just had putting this all together. I was like, oh, my God, I got to do something. So I went to this weight loss specialist. I did everything that he said, not perfectly, I lost 40 pounds. And he has now retired. And I'm on my own and a little bit nervous because I lost the 40 pounds, but I didn't get to the maintenance part. So the way I'm eating and the way I was eating with him, you're not intended to eat like that for the rest of your life. But I feel like I was sort of just stopped. And right now I don't know how to maintain this exactly to make it a part of my life.
So, what was the weight loss more about how you ate?
Yes. Oh, no. Yes. Oh, absolutely. The weight gain and the weight loss was totally.
Okay.
My triglycerides was like 400 when I went to this doctor.
Very high, colleagues. Okay.
Yes.
Very high. So what did he do? I mean, did he give you a nutrition program to follow?
Yes, he gave me a very specific diet. Well, all of his patients have a very specific diet. He calls it the blue sheet, and all you can eat is what's on the blue sheet throughout the day in the proportions that he recommends. And so I was weighing and measuring and only eating what was on the blue sheet. I mean, I wasn't perfect. I went on
right.
a cruise. I was on set a couple of times. I had a couple of deaths in my life because
okay.
I'm an emotional eater.
I sort of abandoned.
I never fully abandoned the program. I just didn't do it perfectly.
Did he mention alkaline acidic foods to you?
No. He's really old school. He's been in the business. Well, like I said, he just retired, but he had been in the business for 40 years, and it was just very, very basic a way of eating. But no, he didn't mention alkaline
okay.
ever.
Okay. So what you and I will
do. A lot of water, though.
Very important. Okay, a lot of water. Very good. How many times a day are you eating?
Well, he suggests twice a day, and each meal has 4 ounces of protein and 4 ounces of vegetables in it. And then
really?
You can have a couple of pieces of fruit throughout the day, wasser crackers, and bouillon.
But can you send me your meal plan, what you're eating throughout the course of the day?
Really? You mean
even,
when I'm supposed to be eating perfectly?
No. Okay. Well, okay, so you know what you're supposed to be eating. It's just that you're not eating it all the time. Is that correct?
Well, that was for the weight loss. What I'm worried about, yes, I will send you that. I will send you the food plan. But what I didn't get to was the maintenance part. Like, at some point, you'll see
yes.
that this food plan eliminates a lot of things, from your diet. But I do believe that you can incorporate a little bit back at some point. I just haven't gotten up to that point. So I don't know if I'm doing harm to myself to continue eating like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say you're probably not, but you know what? You do need to eat more frequently. 2 times a day is not frequent enough, okay? Even for maintenance purposes, you need to eat 5 more meals a day. Even Jasper Cole, a good friend of ours, will tell you.
Right.
You know, that's what he tries to do.
Right.
5 times a day is good. But I'm going to talk to you more about that because there's a lot you can do. And I'll help you. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, thank you.
I'll help you with that. Okay, I'll put it out on the air that I'll help you. But again, maybe I edit this out so nobody will hear it.
That's up to you. That's complete. Because everybody will be there. Help me.
That's funny. But okay, so all right, what is your ideal goal as far as weight loss goals? I mean, you lost 40 pounds. How many pounds are you trying to continue to lose? Or is that it?
Well, I need to get back. Okay, everyone tells me I look great where I am right now. And I feel great, and I look at myself, and I'm like, oh, wow. And so I think I could stop now. But before the holidays, I was trying to lose 10 more pounds. But I haven't
okay.
weighed myself because I'm nervous.
Right.
I don't want to know, but I need to know. I do need to know where I am so that I can, you know when I get to where I want to go.
Yes.
So I need to look and see. I was trying to get to a certain number that was about 10 pounds away before the holiday.
Right. And I wouldn't even worry so much about the scale right now anyway. But let me ask you this. When it comes to exercise, what type of exercises are you doing? And how often do you exercise?
Well, because of my schedule, I'm a little bit all over the place. But
right,
I have found a variety of activities that I enjoy.
Yes.
And I don't always do them consistently, but I'm trying to. I'm trying to, you know, this is the day I do this, this is the day I do that, this is the day I do that. And so I'm doing the best I can. And in saying that, I've been doing okay because I've been riding my bike.
Good.
Pilates. I'm swimming a little bit. I take water yoga,
yeah.
which is not really aerobic, but that's an activity. I have a rebounder right outside my door. I don't always use it. I have a hula hoop. I don't always use it. It's
nice.
Hard for me
okay.
to get motivated, self-motivated.
Okay, we're going to motivate.
Funkercise. Oh, I forgot about my Funkercise class, which
okay.
Ella Joyce teaches. So I've been doing that on Friday nights. That's been pretty consistent.
Okay, interesting. All right, we're going to motivate you. We're going to help get you in shape there and help you with your maintenance. But you're going to have to consider weight training, Carlise.
Weight training?
You just like you just said that. Weight training? What world is that? That will make all the difference in your maintenance goals and helping you to tone up. You're not going to look like a bodybuilder. You're not going to look like me either, so don't worry about that. But you're going to be nice and you're going to be nice and toned, and you'll find that it'll be easier for you to keep the weight off once you start weight training. And I'll tell you what to do. We'll kind of lead you in to give you an idea of what should be done. But weight training is the answer in addition to your nutrition. You must start a weight training program. You'll find it'll give you strength, even tone your body, and you'll burn fat even quicker.
I like the idea of a toned body.
Yes, yes, Carlise. That is no joke.
Okay.
And I'm going to email you my book, like I said, though, so we can work off my book, too, okay?
Oh, you're my hero. Thank you.
You're a hero. You're so funny. Okay, so let's get back to the interview. Let's move on. I'm almost done now because I want to make sure I get a couple more questions in, okay?
Okay.
Despite you having a very busy life, as we know you do, and I know you find time to be philanthropic, which is great, or philanthropic, which is better, lending your time and talent to various causes, which is great, can you tell us about one or two causes that are near and dear to your heart and why?
Well, like you know, you've done your homework. I have a couple. Let's see. I have to start with an organization called the Felix Organization, which is an organization of adoptees helping other adoptees, younger ones, that have come up in the foster care system and have never been adopted out. and they're based there in New York, the Felix Organization.
Okay, great.
And it's near and dear to my heart because the way I was led to the Felix Organization was through a casting director. I was honestly just networking as an actress. And I found out that this casting director, along with Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, founded the Felix Organization. And when I saw what they were about, I gave the Felix Organization a donation. And that casting director led me to the woman that found my birth mother. I didn't tell you at the beginning of the conversation that I was adopted when I was a baby.
No, I didn't know that.
And so in networking with this casting director, leading me to this amazing nonprofit organization, and then that led to me finding my birth mother. I just met her last year. She's 96 now. I met her when she was 95 years old.
Unbelievable. That's another story unto itself. Really?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. That must have been something. Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. So that organization will always, always be near and dear to my heart.
Okay. Any other ones? That's the one that stands out most in your mind.
That's the one that's stand out. Another organization that I'm extremely passionate about is A Window Between Worlds, and they use art to heal the pain and suffering of trauma. It started out basically, you know, because of people who may have been domestically abused. The women and children, and some men as well. And so they give classes to survivors of domestic violence, art classes, and they use these art classes to heal the pain and to give the people who have, I don't want to call them victims, but survivors, a way to express themselves and heal and grow and share their story.
Nice. Nice. That's the one I was waiting to hear about.
Really? Yeah.
Exactly.
A window between That's worlds. Cool. Yeah.
Very nice. But now, as we've discussed earlier, you've had a very diverse career.
Yes.
But is there something that you haven't done that's on your bucket list?
I'm still working toward becoming a series regular. And apparently the show has not been created yet, or it's been created and I haven't been plugged into it, because I really, really see myself as a part of a very strong ensemble cast.
Yes.
On an amazing hit show that airs every week for many years.
Wow.
That is my ultimate TV goal.
Love it. Love it. You put it out there, too.
That's right. Very clearly and succinctly.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Now, are there any actors or actresses that you would love to work with who you haven't worked with so far?
You know, most of the time, because I've been listening to your podcast,
I always hear
actors talk about wanting to work with other A-list actors, you know, the ones that we all know, the famous names that we all know. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you something, Vince. You know who I would love to work with? I would love to work with those sisters that are in the audition rooms with me on a day-to-day basis when we look around the room and we know that only one of us is going to get this job.
Wow.
I would like to work on a piece where we could work together, where there's not just one role for one black woman in this particular show.
Yes.
You know, the sisters that I'm out there in the trenches with every day, you know, I would love to have a piece where we could. And it may not be all of us at the same time. You know what I mean? But those are the actors that I would want to work with. I have I want to work with every actor, you know, but I've been able to cross some names off my list. I was directed by Steven Spielberg. I worked with William H. Macy in his face, toe to toe in Shameless. I mean, I had to like breathe and just like you have a job to do, okay? You can't be a fan right now. You have to go to work. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I know what it's like to work with A-list people, but the ones I want to work, the working actors like myself, the ones that I see, you know, on the grind every day in the audition rooms. That's what I would like to have happen.
Wow. Or maybe you should make a series about that, huh?
Yeah, I just thought about it. I was like, that sounds like it could be a show.
Thank you. Who's done that? No one has done that. Okay, Khalees, maybe you should do that.
Well, there you go. Bits and Pieces Productions. New project in development.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. Now, how can my listeners find out more about you and follow you?
Well, I am Khalees Burke everywhere. Khalees is spelled like a lease on a car, CARLEASEBURKE. I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page on Facebook, Khalees's Bits and Pieces. I'm on Instagram. Oh. I love people following me on Twitter. And please check out my YouTube Ask a Stage Goddess videos.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. And we will be checking that out, Khalees, for sure.
And leave comments and likes and stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people, they check in. Oh, and my blog, of course, which you can get through my website, which is khaleesburke.com. Please leave comments and likes and feedback and all that on my blog, especially, and on YouTube. Tell me what you think. Ask me questions and let's, I'm very interactive. People are surprised. My fans from Switched at Birth are surprised when they send me tweets and I respond to them. People are surprised when I answer on Facebook. I'm very, very interactive, and I love that. I love to know that you're out there,
wow.
that you love what I'm doing, and, you know, and hey, I'll be your friend. I love it. And if I can help anybody who wants to be an actor, if they have any questions, you know, I'll be glad to help there, too, as well.
I love that. I'm going to put that in the newsletter when we send this out, the fact that you are starting a coaching program. That is huge.
Awesome. It's time.
Oh, man, this is great. So, Carlise, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me, Vince. You are amazing. Thank you so much.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.